Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. It's been a little bit of an emotional week for me. you were singing the song Waymaker, and yesterday or the day before, I got in a little habit of when you're on Facebook scrolling and they get on the videos, and if you watch a video, then it goes to another video, then it goes to another video, then it goes to another video. And some of them are, you know, what's happening in Seattle and whatnot. But there was one that came up, and I don't know how it got on Facebook, to be honest with you, but it was the song Waymaker was actually playing. And it was a scene from a movie of Christian martyrs where they were being fed to the lions. And it struck me. It really has played on my emotions this week, because there are individuals throughout history who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and have paid an ultimate price and yet maintained their integrity and yet would not bow to any idols or bow to anything that would cause them to bring shame onto Christ. And we know that that just has not happened in the New Testament, but it also happened in the Old Testament. And you see a lot of that even in the book of Daniel, where in the book of Daniel we have, of course, four individuals that we've been looking at the last couple weeks: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also Daniel. Now, Daniel's out of the picture this week. We're not going to talk to him about him this week, but we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we're going to talk about the value of integrity, and integrity at its finest. And so we're going to be looking at that today in relation to those who are willing to give the ultimate for God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is integrity? Well, integrity is an act of behaving honorably even when no one is watching. People with integrity have a high moral character and ethical principles in all aspects of their lives, where they know what is right and they do it even when people are not watching. And I will be honest with you, finding people with pure 100% integrity seems to be getting harder and harder in our society, because we develop an attitude of, let's just get ahead and make sure that I win at all costs. If you don't believe me, go about 800 to 900 miles to the east to a little town called Washington, D.C., and try to find individuals with integrity in that town. They're there, don't get me wrong, but it seems to be harder and harder to find them there, because you have what are people who are called politicians, and their main job is to get reelected. And so to find a politician with integrity that holds to standards and values that they've held throughout their lives, it is very hard to do that. I know of a politician that at one time believed that abortion was wrong, would stand up and say abortion is wrong, but because he became the Vice President of the United States, he changed his mind, and he said that a woman now has a right to an abortion, and she can do with her body whatever she wants. And that was, of course, Al Gore. And so we have individuals like that. Then you have a person like President Trump, who at one time was for abortion. He said all women have a right to their own body and they can choose. And he changed his philosophy, and he now says abortion is wrong. Do you know what changed in his mind? Do you know what caused him to change? Anybody know? Anybody know what it was? He became a grandfather. And I don't know what it is about grandfathers, but boy, I tell you, my emotions seem to be pretty wild when it comes to kids now. Where holding a kid, looking at a kid and seeing that, and I see babies and everything else. And, you know, when I was younger, it was like, okay, yeah, here's my kid. And I'd pick him up by the straps and just drag him through the house, you know. Now I'm going, don't you do that, you know. Even to my kids here. And so something changed. Grandpas, you know what I mean? Something kind of changes in relation to that. And that's what President Trump actually came out and said. He said, I became a grandfather, looked at my grandchild, and says, how in the world could we kill something like that? Now, this is not a Republican or Democrat convention right now. I'm just telling you the facts and some of them who have changed. But integrity, and yet we have an individual like that who will say, yeah, I believe that abortion is wrong, and then all of a sudden becomes pro-choice, and our society goes, yay, isn't that great? And then you got somebody that was pro-choice and said, this is wrong, and I become pro-life. And how could they do something like that? Even what's her name, on Roe versus Wade became a Christian. Daryl, we got a machine gun up here. Anyway, but you got the lady that was in the case of Roe versus Wade. She becomes a Christian. Now she's standing up and she's saying abortion is wrong. And guess what? The media is totally ignoring her. Totally ignoring her. You ain't going to hear that now. Okay. So I want you to go to Daniel chapter 3, and I want to talk about that today. If you remember last week, we talked about how Nebuchadnezzar developed a statue of himself. Now, I gave you some wrong information, okay? I said that the statue was 90 feet high and 30 feet wide. No, I was wrong. It's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And so here's this big, tall pillar out there, and it says that whenever the band would play, everyone was to stop what they were doing, and they were to bow down and worship that idol. And if you didn't do that, you were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, what does the furnace look like? Something like this. This is actually a furnace from the time of Babylon. So this is what the furnace probably would look like that Daniel was going through. Now, what are the furnaces for? Making bricks. You go to India or Bangladesh like I have, they are absolutely everywhere. Furnaces are everywhere where they're making bricks, because that's pretty much what they build with out there, are bricks. And so here's this brick-making furnace, and if you don't bow and you don't do what we tell you to, it's going to cost you your life. And you're going to be thrown into that fiery furnace, and you will die. Let's go to verse 8 of chapter 3. So the trumpet was blowing, and everyone bowed except for three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the golden image. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown in the blazing furnace. And there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty, neither do they serve you or your gods or the worship the image of gold you have set up. All right, stop there. These individuals were called Chaldeans. They lived in the southern part of the kingdom. They were individuals that were natural to the area. They were individuals that were born in Babylon. Keep that in mind. Now you have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you remember them from chapter 1, Daniel interpreted the dream, and then he came. Nebuchadnezzar was so thrilled about interpreting the dream that they put Daniel in charge of, kind of the governor of the province of Babylon. Daniel then put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with him as well, and they were in charge. So you got the Chaldeans that are saying, listen, I am natural born, but yet at the same time, you put these Jews who are not Babylonian, you put them in charge, and they're standing here, and they didn't like that too well. And then you got individuals, when they don't like you, they are actually going to be looking for an opportunity to point something out that you're doing wrong. Right? And I'm sure many of you saw the video of that in Logan, Ohio, of that lady that was arrested and taken out of the stands. And this is not a debate about that, but I will tell you I'm 100% pro police, so you know where I stand on this. I always say there's always more to the story than what is put on the cameras. But I found very interesting what they were doing. When they arrested her, you know what she was doing? She was kind of flopping around, going out. Do you know what she was doing? Did you listen to her? She was pointing out, you don't have a mask on. You don't have a mask on. And then another police officer shows up, and you watch her. She turns around and says, where's your mask? You know, she was pointing that out. People do that. People do that. They will literally stand up and say, see, you're not doing it either. You're not doing it either. How dare you? If you were a good governor, you would do this. And so here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't bow down to the idol. These Chaldeans did, and they're going, whoa, wait a minute, you've got to do this too. No, I'm not going to do it. And then they go to King Nebuchadnezzar and say, listen, these people that you, notice what it says, you put in charge are not bowing down. What does Nebuchadnezzar do? Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you have not served my gods or worshiped the image that I have set up? Verse 15. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship, that would be very good. In other words, all you got to do is just bow down, you'll be fine. If you compromise just a little bit, you'll be fine, it's okay. But if you don't worship it, you're going to be thrown immediately into the fiery furnace. Notice what he says now. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Wait a minute, isn't this Nebuchadnezzar that two chapters before, of course it was about 16 years ago, but said, praise God and praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel because of the interpretation that was given to the dream? How soon we forget. Now, we talked about that last week. But you have to understand that Nebuchadnezzar was polytheistic, meaning that there were many gods. He held that every nation had their own god. And so, yeah, I can praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because he's a Jewish god, but we still got our own. One of many gods. So he didn't totally accept the fact that there was just one God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Why? Because we're people of integrity. When you live a life of integrity, you don't have to defend yourself. You just live it. Now comes one of my favorite verses. You ready? I love this verse. Okay. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from you, from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. See, we live this life of integrity. We don't have to defend ourselves because you know that we're not going to bow down. And I know King Nebuchadnezzar is trying to give him an out. All you got to do is bow down. All you do is compromise. It's okay. Just compromise a little bit. We'll be, you know, just bow down once and then I don't have to kill you because I really don't want to kill you because you guys are doing a really good job. And, you know, please bow down. Please bow down. No, we're not going to because I know my God can deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, I will not bow down. care what the political wind is. We know what's right and wrong. I think if there's one thing that really concerns me about our society right now, is we don't even know what's right or wrong anymore. And we saw this coming in the 70s and 80s when they started teaching us what was called situational ethics in our high schools and colleges and universities. And it's like, well, you know, killing is wrong, but you know what, when you think about the situation... Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes and trousers and turbans and all other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, firmly tied up, fell into the firing, blazing furnace. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men in the fire that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looked like the son of gods. Now, if you have a King James, I think it says son of God, but the real translation is son of gods. Remember, he's polytheistic. That's what he's going to be looking at. So I go back with Michelle said, okay, some people think this, some people think this. Some commentators think that 4th person was Jesus, pre-incarnate, before he came on this earth. Some people think it was an angel. I think it was an angel that was walking with them. That's my opinion. We won't know for sure until we stand up in the presence of Almighty God and talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You do know you're going to have that opportunity. You're going to be in eternity with God. You're going to be able to talk to some of these people. Think about it. 1 billion, 1 trillion years, I'm pretty sure you're going to be talking with some of them. Okay. Notice, let me come back. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out! Come out of here! So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. The satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors all crowded around them because they're trying to figure out how in the world did they ever survive this. And they noticed that their bodies were not harmed, their hair was not singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Anybody ever have a fire? Anybody ever have a fire? We did. Okay. You know what's interesting about a fire? You can't get the smell out. It's very difficult to get the smell out of the house. You have to use a special type of paint that seals everything in because the smell stays there. And, you know, when I was on the fire department, it was that way. I'd come home and I'd have smoke in my hair and everywhere else. And Polly says, get away from me, take a shower. And I could still take a shower and I still smell like it. They didn't smell like it at all. The miracle happened. But also notice that the miracle happened after they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Notice that God didn't deliver them before the fiery furnace. He delivered them as they were being thrown and they were in the fiery furnace. Many times that's how God works. I don't know why. I don't like the idea. I would love to have a little message come down with a little birdie say, don't worry, darling, you're not going to have to worry about it. But they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They were willing to die for God. All right. A couple lessons about integrity I want to talk about today. The first one is integrity is always learned. Teach integrity to your children. Integrity is always learned. Teach integrity to your children. Your kids will emulate you. Teach them the value of integrity. Okay? They are watching you. They are watching to see if you're cheating or stealing or whatever else. Integrity is so important. Remember a couple years ago they had this commercial that was going around television. This kid was playing basketball, and they threw the ball, and he hit it out of bounds, and the ref came, and he set it out of bounds on the other team. And the kid went up to the ref, says, "No, I'm the one that touched it last. I'm the one that touched it last." And the ref said, "Okay, you know, out on the other team." And it might have cost them the game. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Winning a sports game is not as important as teaching your kids integrity. Because integrity will last the rest of their lives. Winning a game lasts 24 hours. Teach your kids the value of integrity. There's a story of Charles Swindoll gives a story about an individual who got on a bus in one of our big cities and handed the bus driver his money to get on the bus, and the bus driver gave him some money back. And he put it in his hand, and he went to the back of the seat, and he goes, "This doesn't feel right." And he looked down at his hands, and he started counting it. He said, the bus driver gave him too much money back. So now he was at a dilemma. What do I do? Do I give him the money back? Or, you know, you snooze, you lose, right? You made the mistake. You snooze, you lose. He went up to the bus driver when he had a stop. He said, "You gave me too much change back. Here's your money." And the man stopped, and he says, "Let me tell you something." He says, "I was at your church last week when you were preaching on integrity. I wanted to know if it was real or not. People are watching." Teach your kids the value of integrity. Number two, living a life of integrity will always be met with opposition. People don't like it when you live in a life of integrity. They will try all they can to cause you to fall. They know what your stand is, but they're going to do everything they can. I used to work in a factory. Now, I think the factories have gotten cleaned up a little bit with all this Me Too movement. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you, the factory I went to when I was younger, I would go down, I would have to keep my face straight this way, because this toolbox and this toolbox and this toolbox and this toolbox, it wasn't bikinis I was looking at. And they all knew I was a pastor. And they would come up and they'd give me the dirtiest jokes. And I'll be honest with you, some were quite funny. Some were pretty funny. But how do I respond to that? Do I want their acceptance, or do I want God's acceptance? And many times I just had to turn around. A few times they even came up and apologized. "I shouldn't have gave you that joke." But they were watching me and I knew it. You will be held to a higher standard, and people will try to cause you to fall in your integrity. Hold on. Thirdly, as a life of integrity is always put to the test, and that kind of goes along with what I just said, but pass the test. I really believe people are looking for people of integrity. I really believe that's why Billy Graham was so well loved, because he was a man who lived what he preached. There's a story about Billy Graham. He went to a hotel, and he always would have one of his aides that would go into the room first, because he knew that the tabloids and everything else were trying to get pictures of him, and because he was afraid that there would be a prostitute or something in the hotel room and that they would be there with their cameras. So he always had an aide to go in first. The second thing he did, he says, "I don't want any of these movies or the temptations of any of these movies to be here." So he always told the hotel, I do not want a television in my hotel room. So one day he walked into his hotel room, and there was a television in there, and he called up the front desk and he said, "I would like you to take this television out." And he says, "We can't do that, sir. That's part of the decor of the room or wherever else." He says, "Okay." He says, "If you want your television tomorrow, we'll be in the hall." Because he didn't want that temptation there. Pass the test. Fourthly, living a life of integrity will be maintained even in the midst of consequences. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actually thrown into the fiery furnace. Yet they maintained their integrity. You know, if you live a Christian life, you're going to be discovered. You know that. Charles Spurgeon said that if you live a true Christian life, people are going to know it. And if you're trying to hide it, which I don't know why you are, they'll discover it. Charles Spurgeon says, "You will not be able to go through life without being discovered. A lighted candle cannot be hidden. There is a feeling amongst good people that it will be wise to be very retracted and hide their light under a bushel. They intend to lie down in all during the wartime and come out when the psalms are being distributed. They hope to travel to heaven by the back lanes and sulk into glory in disguise. But oh me, what a degenerate set. He's saying if you live a life that of integrity, of Christianity, people will see it. People will see it. Okay. Number five, living a life of integrity is God-focused and God-honoring. That is our job, to bring glory and honor to God. That's what it should be in everything that we do. Go to verse 28 of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has set his angel to rescue his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people, all the people of any nation or language who say something against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces. Their homes be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." So what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He is now praising God. See, when we live a life of integrity, our job is to reflect Jesus Christ to others so people will know that we're a Christian and they can see God in us and they can praise God. Living a life of integrity will be blessed, if not now, then in the life to come. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were delivered. And then they were protected. But there are those who are not delivered and protected. Let's be honest. God doesn't always deliver us. There were two arrests this past week, one in Logan, Ohio, which I already talked about a little bit. There's more to the story to that thing, I can guarantee it. I've worked with the school system too much and with law enforcement and fire and EMS. I always know there's more to the story. That's why I don't usually go by, even if it's camera right there, because you can edit and all this other stuff. So we saw that, and here's this lady, she's going and she's, "You're not wearing a mask," and going, "You're not wearing a mask," and she's madder and mad. And there was another arrest happening on Idaho. There was a church that had a church service out in a parking lot. And they arrested three individuals in that parking lot. And I saw a big difference on how these individuals were arrested. The first one in Logan, Ohio, she's madder than everybody. Every four-letter word you can hear is coming out of her mouth. In Idaho, the police came up, and they're doing their job. And they said, "We're going to arrest you for not having a mask and social distancing." And you know what they did? And they let him away. They weren't screaming, hollering, cussing, swearing. Why? Because they were representing Jesus Christ. And they knew it. They knew it. All that we do is we give God the glory. And sometimes God delivers us and sometimes he won't, but God remembers. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who've been slain for the word of God, for the testimony which was healed." So people who were slain during the tribulation period are given a place of honor in heaven where they're literally under the altar of Almighty God. It tells me God doesn't forget these things. Which leads me to number seven. God gets all the glory. It's not about us. It's about him. And we become a sermon to the ungodly world when we live our life with integrity and with godliness. And Christians, we are to be a mirror of God's glory to others. I shared last week this story. I'm going to share it again because we didn't have everybody here, but about June, I think, is when the mask mandate came down from our government. And we can argue the merits of it all you want, okay? But this is what I found interesting. Is that day that the mask mandate went in, I had to go to Walmart. And I went into Walmart, and I was mad. So why do I have to wear this stupid mask? I don't like it. I just want to see people. Let me see your mouth. That's all I want, you know? And I'm going into Walmart, and I go get my thing, and I put it in there, and I'm still mad. And I go up there, and I pay for it, and I still got my mask on. And then I go out the door, and I normally, if I don't have much, I'll put my cart, will be in that little foyer area. I'll just leave it right there because, I mean, why take it all the way out for them just to bring it back in? It's a courtesy thing, you know? And I leave it right there, and here's this lady sitting there going, "Hey, you! What?" "You got to take it outside." I go, "For what?" You know, and then we'll take it outside. And then I go, "Okay, well, whatever," you know. And I didn't say that, but I go, "Oh," and I wanted to turn around and go, "Ah," and I didn't. Took it outside and put it out there. 2 feet I had to take it out there to make her happy. I look down, I'm wearing a Mount Tabor shirt. Staff. I go, "Man, am I glad I kept my cool." Because I represent Mount Tabor, but more importantly, I represent Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of things happening in our society right now that I do not like. But more importantly, I represent Jesus Christ. And I am to be a sermon for the rest of the world. Because you know what? People don't care what you say. They care who you are. That's really what it boils down to. They don't care what you say. They won't remember what you say, but they'll remember who you are. For our younger people, you don't remember the Soviet Union? I do. Growing up, we didn't know if we were going to be hit with a nuclear bomb. We get stories about the Soviet Union and how Christians were being persecuted and killed in the Soviet Union. Because communism has one God, and communism is the God of communism. You want to know why the older people are really scared about what they're seeing and some of the communistic viewpoints that are happening in our society? It's that. We've seen what it does. We've seen people killed trying to come here. We've seen people who would literally stuff themselves in car seats to go through the checkpoints so that they could come here and get away from it. Vanya Moziski, in 1968, became a Christian. He was only 16 years old. 2 years later, in 1970, Vanya was inducted into the Russian Red Army. Vanya willingly accepted the rigors of the Russian army camp. Without a complaint, he promptly and cheerfully fulfilled all of his duties, and he obeyed the orders without hesitation. One day, Vanya arrived moments late from the morning lineup, and he was caught because he was caught up in his morning prayer and meditation, and now his faith was exposed. This one innocent error would cost Vanya his life. Christian believers were not tolerated in the atheistic Red Army. Over the next 2 years, Vanya was periodically tortured, incarcerated in the rankest of prison dungeons. The Red Army officials did all they could to force Vanya to renounce his faith in God. As Vanya bravely held firm, his life became a miraculous witness to his fellow prisoners. He was actually witnessing to his prisoners, and they were coming to Christ. Vanya was forced to go days without food, yet he never became hungry or ill. He was made to stand outside of his barracks all night in sub-zero temperatures, wearing only a summer uniform, yet he never felt cold or suffered any ill effects. Through all of his trials and tortures, Vanya faithfully praised and worshiped the Lord. He was never hesitant to share the gospel with any who would listen. On July 16, 1972, Vanya's suffering ended. His torturers did not realize that Vanya would rather accept death than to renounce his Creator, and they went too far, and Vanya died at the hands of the Red Army officers. And what they did is they drowned him. And when they brought him back out of the water, his heart was still beating, and so they put nails through his heart. That is integrity. Oh, if we all could have that type of integrity and hold to the faith in the little things and the big things, but hold to the faith and be a mirror and a sermon for others to see. Let us pray. Father, I said a lot today, and we just pray that we'll become a church of integrity and individuals of integrity. And even though, Lord, we may not know what you have in store for us, may you be the way maker of our lives, and may we hold off even when we don't understand. May we be people who hold fast, and above all, give you praise and honor and glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
If you'll please stand and join us, we'll go ahead and we'll sing Waymaker again. And I just encourage you to think of any area in your life right now that you need the Lord just to be your way maker, to work a miracle. He is our light in the darkness, and I'm just so thankful for that.
Worship you, and you are. never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Always to worship you, even when we don't feel it, we don't even realize it. Lord, let us worship you in all that we do, and let us be a sermon for the rest of the world to see, because we live a life of integrity. We thank you and praise you and honor you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Make sure you go get your kids.